Podcast 10.
Welcome to Coach Chick's Hockey Secrets, the show that offers you insight, tips, tricks, and shortcuts to superior hockey play.
In today's episode, I'm going to briefly comment on hockey's new rule interpretations. I'm going to explain the overall aims of the Hockey Secrets show. I'll try to share some recent observations at, of all things, a tennis tournament. I'm going to explain the concept of gap control in the defenseman's play of the one-on-one. And I have a couple of tips on taping the butt end of a hockey stick. Today's hottest topic has to be the recent change in rules, or should I say, the change in the way officials are calling the old rules. After the initial shock and the 2,000 penalties per game that we first saw, I think players are getting the handle on playing the new style. If there's something else for us to consider in this matter, it has to be our need to practice in a new way. I mean, despite the fact that hockey players still have to be tough, there's less and less need for guys who just run around and bang people. So, I'm hoping that everyone who's looking forward to being successful in the modern day game is thinking seriously about really high-level skills and blazing speed. As a side note here, I'll eventually tell you a lot about the things I'm doing with my junior high school and high school prep teams. But for now, I'd like to tell you about a special session I hold once per week for those kids. It's a skills session, and it's a skills session for my forwards, for my defensemen, and for my goaltenders. And by that, I mean that they're all treated alike for that 1 hour per week. They all skate their buns off, they all do tricks with the puck, and they all work plenty on their shooting. Of course, you know my forwards benefit from this type of practice, but you ought to see how mobile my defensemen are, and how good they are with the puck. And you should even see my goaltenders when they're ultimately able to move out of their net, stick handling a bit, and then firing long bombs to their teammates up ice. Again, it's a new game we're preparing for, and I think it's going to take some different kinds of practice measures for players to meet the new challenges. Before going too far here, I think it's only fair that I explain this show's title, Hockey Secrets. Yeah, I'm going to be sharing some things that are most likely unknown to amateur-level players, their parents and coaches, and even to some pros. More specifically, though, I'd like to discuss things that others just don't seem to get into. Don't ask me why they don't, but they don't. At the very least, I hope I cause you to think. You know, I've solved a ton of hockey problems over nearly 40 years, and I've even saved a number of players' careers. Quite honestly, a lot of this had to do with the fact that I don't always expect that a hockey problem is really a hockey problem. Okay, I know I might have confused you with that one, so let me address that subject in a little bit more detail in the next program segment. A few weekends ago, I had to kill some time between my team's off-ice practice at one facility and a game I had to coach a little later in a nearby ice rink. Just so you know, We use a roller hockey floor at that off-ice session for all sorts of stuff, like gym-type workouts, some skills work on wheels, and I'm even able to walk my kids through different plays because the floor has all the markings of a regular rink. That's a nice place to relax and talk in detail about tactics because the clock isn't ticking away at $5 per minute like when we're on the ice. Anyway, that roller surface is attached to a busy tennis club. And on this day, I spent some time watching a young girls' tournament that was being played on their outdoor clay courts. Now, I guess I never can leave my hockey coaching hat at home, because as I observed the various player matchups, I couldn't help but notice what I believe to be the difference between those who were more or less successful. Understand that I only know a little about tennis, but my gut tells me that most observers, and maybe even some tennis instructors, would have immediately focused on a given girl's tennis technique. I, on the other hand, saw most of the girls' deficiencies as more basic, as in their footwork, their relative strength, and just their ability to handle their bodies through various movements. In other words, I'd probably suggest that they ditch their rackets for a time, instead putting in some work with an agility ladder, some gymnastics movements, and even a little light strength work. Why do I tell this story about young tennis players? It's because a lot of us view hockey players in much the same way. For example, a player who is losing one-on-one battles may have a skating problem. However, it's just as likely that he or she has a footwork problem that has very little to do with being in skates. Or there's a body control problem that has nothing to do with being on the ice. The other night, my high school prep team played in what the league's director called the best game he'd seen in 5 years. I mean to tell you, the game was fast, clean, fast. And did I say the game was fast? Anyway, matched with an equally talented team, we managed a 3-3 tie. Now, the beauty of a game like that, and even more so in games we lose, is that my players' weaknesses are suddenly exposed. Hey, it's nice to win, but it's also nice when we get to discover areas of our game that need more work. To explore the real problem, though, let's go back to the youngest levels of our game for a moment. Because almost every young defender soon learns that it's more embarrassing to have a player fly past him than it is to back in towards the goal and surrender a shot. If you think about it, only trained hockey eyes notice the D backing in. On the other hand, even a kid's grandmother from doggone Ecuador is likely to recognize the youngster getting toasted. So if you get my point here, the fear of having an attacker skate around you is learned early on, and it's likely to never quite disappear. Hey, we don't have to like it, but I think we do have to appreciate that worry is there in the minds of most blue liners, no matter how old they get or what level they play. So, back at practice this week, I spent some time reminding my defensemen about something called gap control. In other words, the backward skating defenseman is responsible for controlling the amount of open space, the gap, between himself and the attacker. Coming out of the offensive zone, the gap is usually pretty large. However, a defenseman, recognizing he has a one-on-one, must ultimately allow the gap to close until there is little, if any, as he nears his defensive blue line. The defenseman should never completely stop because he has no mobility when standing still. So, the closing of that gap must be gradual and rather subtle, It takes a lot of practice to perfect this play, but successfully slowing the attacker at the defensive blue line causes him to seek alternative entry, and it also causes frequent offsides calls. By the way, this isn't the easiest skill to hone in a practice setting. However, what I did this week was to allow pairs of defensemen to work at their own pace, even in slow-mo or half speed, for a short time. One guy would pretend to be the attacker, while the other would try to close the gap. Then, a little later, I let all the D work one-on-one against our forwards for something closer to real game action. I don't expect that we'll be perfect by next week's game, but if we keep practicing in the right ways, I hope to eventually help overcome the kids' urge to retreat too quickly and to allow too large a gap. Today's tip for better hockey play: although taping the end of a stick makes it easier to hold and to pick up if it's dropped to the ice, too large a knob can really inhibit quick, dexterous wrist actions. Also, if you want to preserve the palms in your hockey gloves, wrap a small amount of slick electrical tape at the very top of the stick knob, just enough so that it prevents the more abrasive friction tape from contacting the glove palm. Well, that's it for this episode. Don't forget to leave a comment or a question on our sister blog, because I just love solving hockey problems.
Coach Chick's Hockey Secrets is brought to you by New England Hockey and CoachChick.com.